coming to you live from the studios of the Clinch County News in Homerville, Georgia. It's the Behind the News podcast with Lynn Robbins and Blake Pittman.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Behind the News podcast, looking behind the headlines in Clinch, Atkinson, Lanier, and Eccles counties. I'm Lynn Robbins, publisher of the Clinch County News, Atkinson County Citizen, Eccles County Echo, and Lanier County Advocate, joined by Blake Pittman, the editor of the Atkinson County Citizen. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about Piggly Wiggly closing its doors in Pearson and what that means for our region. We'll talk about a meeting they had in Fargo about the Suwannee Headwaters Project and the proposal that came up and the reaction to it. We'll talk about high school baseball and soccer. We're in playoff season now. We'll tell you what teams are in the playoffs and what they are doing. We'll talk about Working Women Week. That's what it is this week. Yesterday was Administrative Professionals Day. We'll talk about, we got a big section in the Lanier County Advocate. We'll talk about that. Had some kids signing scholarships, athletic scholarships this week that we're going to be covering, and we have that. And we'll talk about a new sister podcast that premiered this week, and tell you all about that and get you going. You're listening to the Behind the News podcast. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Les Brown Pegler and Manley Insurance in Homerville, and the Shack Cafe over in Pearson, the Country Cabin Restaurant, and Robert's Milling Company. And we're going to get to the rest of this podcast right after a message from one of those guys.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Robert's Milling Company, your local feed and seed supplier on West Albany Avenue in Pearson, Georgia. It is also brought to you by the Shack Cafe, located at 74 West Albany Avenue in Pearson. The Shack is open from Monday through Saturday, 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. They have a hot bar for breakfast and lunch, as well as burgers, fish, chicken, and steak all throughout the day. Also, for one of the best steaks around, check out the Country Cabin Restaurant, located at 879 Mary Batten Road in Pearson. They have the best steaks, chicken, and seafood around. They are open on Thursdays from 5 to 8:30 p.m. and Friday and Saturday from 5 to 9:30 p.m. Come out and see what it's all about.
Welcome back, fantastic podcast peeps. I'm Lynn Robbins, joined by Blake Pittman. We're going to be talking about going behind the scenes and what's going on in Atkinson, Clinch, Eccles, and Lanier counties, and what's been covered in our newspapers this week. And the big story in the Atkinson County Citizen is the Piggly Wiggly there is closing its doors. Blake, tell us about that.
Well, according last week, or might have been earlier this week, Lynn, I remember you asked me had I heard anything about it, because there was a couple Facebook posts going around about the Piggly Wiggly closing. So I called up the store. I spoke to one of the assistant managers, and they did inform me that the store is in fact, it's already closed now. Said they received word last Saturday that from the home office. I don't know if that was in the form of an email or a phone call or what have you, but they received word that the store was going to be closed, and it was either going to be closed by Tuesday or Wednesday, just depending on how long it took them to get everything boxed up and shipped out. The manager that I talked to cited financial, I guess, problems, not making enough, generating enough revenue within the store to keep it open. And they actually closed Wednesday. I posted a picture on the front page of one of their suppliers' trucks. The guy was actually unloading loaves of bread out of the store. They did say that they didn't have any kind of sales or anything. I mean, they just closed it very quickly, and they said that they were going to split the stuff up and divide it between the Lakeland and the Homerville stores. They were not. If they were open a year right at it, I mean, within a few days, because we ran the story last April the 5th, I think, that they were talking about opening, and then shortly after that, they opened. So barely even a year, and they have closed their doors. So there's no grocery store in Pearson.
And that had previously been Harvey's.
That's correct.
And then they sold the Atkinson County, or the Pearson, Lakeland, Homerville Harvey's to this group, the Thompsons, who converted to Piggly Wiggly's. And we've had a lot of calls here in Homerville and also in Lakeland about questioning whether or not the Piggly Wiggly in Homerville and Lakeland was closing because they had issues with stocking, I think. And when we asked about it, they said, you know, those were just issues with suppliers that had been worked out. So there's no, apparently that's the only store that's closing. We'll keep our eye on that. Now, also, Fred's around the nation has been closing a bunch of stores.
That's
but
right.
The Homerville and the Lakeland Fred stores are not closing. They are not on those lists. And we've already reported that the Family Dollar wasn't changing hands. So, but that is a blow to especially people who in Pearson who maybe don't have transportation.
That's right.
That they can go to Douglas or go somewhere else to the Waycross or whatever to shop. And maybe somebody will come in there and buy that up and provide that service. I hope so.
Yeah, maybe so. But on a positive side, I guess, if you want to look at it that way, the Dollar General there in Pearson is a Dollar General market. Yeah. So they do have some fresh vegetables and fruit as well as some meat selections and stuff of that nature. Not anywhere near as many selections as you would have in a bigger store. But, I mean, they have, enough fresh food and canned items to, get somebody by if they absolutely needed to and couldn't make it to Douglas or somewhere else to get them.
But if anything changes on any of the, and we'll keep an eye on this story and see how it develops, both in terms of if anything's coming in to that store in Pearson, and also if this is going to, anything's going to happen with the Homerville or the Lakeland Piggly Wigglies. Story on the front page of the Clinch County News this week was about the Suwannee Headwaters Project proposal. They had a meeting on Monday, a couple of days ago. We're broadcasting this on Thursday. And it was basically an informational meeting about a proposal that a bunch of partners were involved in. And the partners included the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, Okefenokee National Wildlife Refuge, Stephen C. Foster State Park. And the four-pronged proposal was this. Expansion of recreational access through more camping sites for canoeists along the river. And I'll explain what these mean in a second. Land acquisition around the river for the purpose of conservation. This is the Suwannee River. Hydrological restoration of the lands around the river and moving the Suwannee River Visitor Center from its current location at the Highway 441 bridge at the corner of the river and Highway 441. Inside to Stephen Foster State Park. That's 17 miles, I think, in there. Now, what the background on this is, in Florida, all along the Suwannee River, all the way from the Florida line to the Gulf of Mexico, the state of Florida has a lot of sites where people can camp that are public. And they have a lot of people that canoe and go down that river, and it's much more used than the Georgia side, which goes from the Suwannee River sill inside the refuge to all the way down to the Florida line. They said they want to have more public camping sites from the sill down to the Georgia-Florida line so that more people would utilize that. More people come there and camp and fish along the Suwannee River, the more money you're going to have coming into Fargo and Clinch County is what they're thinking. Now, there were some people there from the community. It was held at the Fargo Auditorium, and they were concerned. They had a number of concerns. First of all, they were concerned that there weren't any details in the plan, that basically what I just told you was what they said. And they said, before we can formulate an opinion on this, we need to have more information, which I understand. What Brian Gray, who's from Stephen Foster State Park, said was that, well, listen, this part of the plan is getting input from you of what you think about this. So whatever you say tonight is going to be part of the plan. If you say we aren't interested in this at all, then we'll take that in consideration. We'll come back with a plan. But I think what they're going to do is come back with some more details based on the input they got. Part of the input they received was that there was concern about, Highway 177, which goes from Highway 441 in Fargo to the Swamp Park. On the left side of that, I guess, is where, if you're going to the park, is between the road and the river. There was concern that either the conservation fund, or they would buy this land. The government would buy all this land up, which is something, a lot of acreage. And then you wouldn't have the hunting access that they have there. And you also, people use that for beekeeping and stuff like that. And that is a legitimate concern, because that's part of Fargo's economy. Is people coming in there and hunting, people coming in there, I mean, you know, the honey business there. And I think what, so I think they got that message that, and they also said, you know, we're only going to have like every 10 miles have a camping site. So we wouldn't have to buy mass quantities of land. You could actually do something where you had an easement or something, like a conservation easement. So maybe they're going to work that out. I sort of hope so, in some ways. Obviously, I had the same concerns that those people at the meeting had, that, you know, you would limit, you know, the hunting or beekeeping or whatever. But, you know, Fargo, I think, in a lot of ways, is being underutilized in terms of tourism in that whole area. I mean, with the lodge there and the river and the park. And what I'd like to see, I want that school to reopen.
Nice.
Because I just don't like kids having to travel that far to go to kindergarten or even pre-K or whatever. And maybe if we can get some more tourism there and some more people offering, you know, if you have more people there, you're going to have more need for people to eat, to, you know, buy gas, have lodging, whatever. Then we can have more people live down there. Not a whole bunch. You don't want to change the culture. But enough so that you could reopen that school. And I think that'd be good for our county and good for, obviously, those kids down there. So they're going to have another meeting fairly soon, and they'll discuss that and hopefully have some more details. And so that's a project that has some promise. We'll see where it goes from here. In Axon County Citizen this week, we have a story about soccer playoffs, and Blake, tell us about that. Atkinson County High School boys and girls.
Yeah, this past week, both boys and girls teams began the first round of the state playoffs. They were also both region champs in their, you know, respective divisions, or what have you, boys and girls, I'm not sure if it's the first time it's ever happened, but it, you know, it's a rarity that you see that happen if you have a sport that boys and girls both play separately. The boys team is actually ranked second in the state right now. They have a 12-3-2 regular season record. That's 6-0 in the region. They played Montgomery County at home yesterday. We're recording this on Thursday. They played Montgomery County at home on Wednesday and beat them 10-0. Now they are scheduled to play again next Thursday, the 2nd. They play, this is a mouthful, Drew Charter School Senior Academy. Yeah, Drew Charter School Senior
Just
Academy.
Just call it Drew Charter.
Yeah, DCSSA is what they're listed as, out of Atlanta. Now, the thing about this is, Lynn, is they're both ranked number one from their region. So, according to GHSA website, they'll do a coin toss to decide which school, and they haven't done that yet. If they have, they hadn't updated it. Now, the girls, they played Wheeler at home this past Tuesday. They beat Wheeler 3-2. They are currently ranked 9th in the state. They finished the regular season with a 6-8 record, 4-0 in region play. And they are also in a similar situation as the boys. They are playing the number one seed from the other place, and they're at the Atlanta Classical Academy. And so both Rebel teams will play a team from Atlanta. They'll both have a coin toss to see whether they'll be played in Pearson or not. The boys, let's see, they play Wednesday, and the boys play next Thursday. So they will both be after press time, of course, next week. But we will still have recaps of this past week's games as well as some pictures. Our photographer Dwayne Culpepper went out and he took some really good pictures of the games, and we will update those scores on our Facebook page and in the following edition of the Citizen.
So really, the Axon County teams may be the last legitimate public schools in the because the rest of, I mean, Drew Charter, Clinch played in basketball. They're a charter school. They get That's to right. choose their students. I'm exactly. sure the Atlanta like David Classical Beckham's Academy.
And, yeah, same with a name thing. Like Atlanta Classical Academy. You know, I pulled up the rankings for the boys, and they're right behind Georgia Military. Yeah. I thought that I didn't realize Georgia Military College had a high school, mm-hmm. but they do, and they're ranked number one. And their records are not that. I mean, they're very very similar. So it should be interesting. Hopefully, between the two of the Atkinson County teams, they can bring home a state championship. That'd be really, really nice.
That would be big. And one of the other spring sports, baseball, they've started their postseason. Starts today, in fact. But Clinch County, one of the teams in our region that's in the playoffs, they get a bye. They finished their regular season last week at 21-6. They defeated Lanier County in a pitcher's duel on Thursday 2-1, and earlier in the week had defeated Charlton County 7-6. And Blake, in that game they're playing at Charlton, they're down 6-0, yeah. weren't they?
Yeah, 6-0.
Going into the final inning, scored 2 runs 6-2, and then in the last inning they scored 5 runs to win it. And boy, the Panthers this year, I need to go back and look how many 1-run games. It's absurd how many they've had. And then their final regular season game was Saturday, where they had a doubleheader where Atkinson played Seminole, and I think Atkinson lost.
They went into extra innings. Won that in the bottom of the last on a base hit right past shortstop.
And Seminole was ranked I think they were ranked ahead of Clinch.
They were. I think they were 5 and we were 6 or something to that effect.
So Panthers owe a favor to Atkinson County for wearing out Seminole, because in the next game, Clinch beat them 10-3.
Yeah.
Had a grand slam home run by Josh Griffiths.
You could tell that one was gone when it left the bat. I was sitting right behind the plate.
And so that moved them ahead of Seminole and actually into 5th place in the power ratings. But because Irwin County actually won the region, they moved ahead. So Clinch going into playoffs is a 6th seed. If you get a top 8 seed, you get a bye. And really, and talking to Coach Lee Douglas of the Panthers, he was really happy with their seeding and the way their bracket breaks down. They're the 6th seed. Today, there'll be a 3-game series, best of 3 series between Tryon and Miller County. Miller County's got to go up to Tryon. I'm thinking Tryon's going to win that. They'll have to come down here and play a best of 3 series against Clinch starting on Thursday, May 2nd. It will go to the next day, Friday, if a third game is needed. On the lower end of that bracket, familiar foe, Charlton County is the 19 team. Bowden is 14. They play. They play the winner. Whoever wins that will play Bakenton Charter, which was the 1A champion. It's the number 3 seed. Now, on the upper bracket of that, you have Wilcox County, ECI, Seminole County that got a bye as well. They finished 7th in the power rankings. Jenkins County, GMC, and Gordon Lee, who's the big bad wolf who everybody's scared of playing, and there's a reason why, because they're defending champs. So if Clinch could get into the semifinals, the Final Four, they would have to face Gordon Lee again, who eliminated him from the playoffs, I think, the last 2 years. But I was talking to Coach Douglas about it. He goes, listen, if we get to Final Four, I don't care. We'll play anybody. I mean, we just want to get that far, that's a good attitude, because you just need to take it one at a time. On the other side, the teams to look for, I think, are Sly County. They're the number 1 seed. They're on the other side. Irwin County, but Irwin County has to get through both Hawkinsville and Johnson County. Hawkinsville's already beat them twice this season in non-region games. So, that lower end of the bracket over there is a toss-up. But the playoffs, we'll know a little bit more today, after today, because that's when all the playoffs start for the lower teams, I guess, from 9 to 24. And
you know, Coach Douglas was also excited because the possibility of a Duncan Lutz returning, making his return to the starting pitching rotation, which would be a big, a big boost to an already solid rotation. And also was told that he might have mentioned that the Lankford kid would be back in, shape to be playing in the playoffs. So,
well, and there's 2 other Panthers that suffered injuries. Josh Piegler, who plays a very versatile player, junior, he has an injury that's healing. Darius Dorsey has a back thing that's lingering. So that extra week really could play a big role. And when you have a three-game series, and if you had Duncan Lutz back at even 80% and had him, Stovall, Jalen Griffiths, you know, and Josh Pegler's become a pretty good reliever. Boy, that's pretty good.
That's a good rotation to have. Yeah. Maybe the Braves should take notes.
Ain't kidding. You're listening to the Behind the News podcast. We'd like to thank our sponsors. In just a little bit, we're going to talk some more about what's going on in Clinch, Atkinson, Eccles, and Lanier counties right after this word from one of our sponsors.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
Visit your local insurance folks at Lutz Brown Pigler and Manley in downtown Homerville, or give them a call at 487-5411.
Welcome back, wonderful podcast people. I'm Lynn Robbins. You're listening to the Behind the News podcast. We're talking about news items going on in Clinch, Atkinson, Eccles, and Lanier counties. And one of the things that's in on the front page of Lanier County Advocate this week is Tyquan Baker, a standout basketball player for the Bulldogs, signing a scholarship with Gordon State College. He has a choice between Gordon State, which is in Barnesville, and Columbus State, and signed with Gordon State. And there's a kid from Clinch County, Keshad Lee, who's going to be going to Gordon State as well, going to try to walk on the basketball team. And he was, I think, Tyquan was the offensive player of the year maybe in the region, and Keshad was the defensive player of the year. So those are two great basketball players that are going to be hopefully playing for Gordon State for a while. And then I believe we also have a signing coming up in next week's Accent Paper. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Senior Cole Lott signed a baseball scholarship with Thomas More University out of Crestview Hills, Kentucky. He's pretty well one of those universal players, Lynn, that plays wherever they need him. Real, really agile kid. Was also very successful on the football team this season. So, yeah, we'll have a story about that in this next week's edition of The Citizen.
One thing we have back this week is the Clinch County Scanner. It's taken off a couple of weeks, and what that is basically just police reports, news from the police. Give us Homerville Police and Clinch County, give us the reports, and then we write up a little story based on whatever is in the report. Now, a lot of these are – it's really the best part of the newspaper because there's some weird stuff that's in there. Now, of course, some of this is not funny because it's, there's one case in there about a guy wielding a chainsaw to try to scare his girlfriend. And, any kind of domestic issues is not funny. But I'm just giving you an example of the kind of stuff that's in there. There's some weird stuff. It's worth reading every week. And we appreciate the Homerville Police Department. For a couple of weeks, they've backed up on that. And we're going to try to, and we've talked to them about doing that more consistently. So, and it's important because, first of all, people need to know what's going on in their communities. And but I also think it's important to know what the police have to go through a lot of times and some of the weird stuff that they have to answer calls for. And Lanier County, the Lakeland Police Department, and Lanier County Sheriff's Department do a great job of supplying us with that information. I mean, they are really every week they feed us with information. Eccles County, Atkinson County does as well. But I'd like to get all of our police departments and sheriff's departments, wherever they are, consistently putting that in the newspaper, because I think it's good for them to show what they're doing, and it's good for the community and our readers that they know what's going on in their community. And and it's also good for our newspapers because it is sometimes interesting reading. So if you want some interesting reading this week, the Clinch County News has the Clinch County Scanner back, and also, like I said, our other newspapers have police news as well. And so take a look at that. This week is also Working Women Week around the nation. And yesterday, I think Wednesday, was Administrative Professionals Day, where they pay tribute to women and ones especially who work in offices. And the Clinch County News had a little two-page section in there where different businesses and offices saluted their working women. And Lanier County, we did it, went a little bit extra. Dwayne Culpepper did features on Helen Strickland, a longtime community activist there, Ivy McCurdy from Lakeland Drugs, who's the pharmacist there, and Pat Miller, who runs that Rivers Farmhouse and does a lot in the community. And if you get a chance, those are some pretty good features that Dwayne did for Working Women Week. We appreciate all of our working women in all of our communities, and so that's a good little tribute to them. Blake, I'd like you to tell us about our newest addition to our podcast family here. Tell us about it.
Yeah, this past week we released the first edition of what we hope is going to be, you know, a pretty successful podcast adventure for us. It is aptly entitled Ben and Blake's Excellent Podcast Adventure. Myself and a really good friend of mine, Ben Murray. He's son of local pharmacist Bill Murray here in Homerville. A guy I've known my entire life. I don't really have many memories that don't involve this guy in them. And really what we want to accomplish with it, Lynn, is, you know, we use this Behind the News podcast to kind of give a deeper insight into what goes on behind our headlines. We want the Excellent Adventure podcast to encompass pretty well everything entertainment related, to keep you involved with, you know, kind of what's going on around the area as far as entertainment, like concerts, movie releases, television shows. We do a segment on there now where we discuss the past week's Game of Thrones episode. We remember the fallen who died fighting in the war on there, as well as, you know, give our thoughts and inputs and predictions on what's going to happen. We also do a top five list every week where we count down our top five favorite things that pertain to whatever, you know, topic we're talking about. This past week's edition, we celebrated the release of Marvel's upcoming Avengers Endgame movie. So in honor of that, we discussed our top five superhero movies and or TV shows. This upcoming week's theme is top five albums of all genres. And that should be a very, very extensive list. We also have a couple of other things we want to add in there, maybe some crazy news stories, you know, whatnot, just to keep things fresh. And we're going to release that on every Tuesday. And so I'm pretty well excited about it. Ben's very excited about it. The small amount of feedback we've received on it so far has all been good. So, you know, hopefully we can use both of these as an outlet to better inform our readers of everything that is going on.
And if you we've already posted that podcast, and you can look on any of our websites, on Clinch County News, Axon County Citizen, or Lanier County Advocate. We've also posted on our Facebook page, and you can go to that link. And I was blown away about how good it was, how interested I was with it. And I'm not a big superhero movie guy, but y'all's insights were great. Also, you have a Twitter page, is that right?
That's right. The Twitter page is also entitled Ben and Blake's Excellent Podcast Adventure. Mm-hmm. But if you go search us, it's at Excellent Dudes. Right. And that'll take you straight to the page. And we also post the link to it on there as well if you're a Twitter follower instead of a Facebook. Because I know a lot of people do Twitter instead of Facebook.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're on that. And, you know, the thing about it, Lynn, is these are conversations that Ben and I have had throughout the course of our mm-hmm. lives over a million times. And we're just actually recording them and you know, putting them out there. So it's fun. I enjoy the conversation more than anything. So we're looking forward to more episodes.
I haven't asked your permission for this, but and you tell me if you don't want to do this, that's fine. But next week, your thing is top five albums of all time.
That's
doesn't
right.
matter what genre. It could be country,
we're crossing genres.
Whatever. If I'm going to encourage people to go to Twitter and go ahead and tell you their top five. Not that that's going to be what you choose at all. You're
that's
not
right.
taking nominations. You're going to give your opinions. That's what
that's
we
right.
want. But then also, you may want at the end of it mention, you know what got a lot of what. Mm-hmm. you may want to say Johnny Jones sent in this and this.
Exactly.
Anyway.
And another thing we want to do with it,
because everybody wants to give their opinion.
Everybody wants to give their opinion. And we also want people to make suggestions as far as things they'd like to hear us discuss.
Yeah.
You know, because only being two guys, of course, we have our own preferences as far as, you know, what we discuss or whatever. But we would like other people's kind of viewpoints, you know, say maybe discuss this or discuss that, because, you know, that's kind of what we want to do. We want to engage our listening audience, if you will.
And Ben is a fount of useless entertainment knowledge.
He is a wellspring,
just like I am. And so, yeah, don't hold back. He knows
exactly
whatever you know.
We may start
anything
a challenge,
obscure
Ben.
You can throw at him, and I think he can be able to handle Blake as well. So anyway, I encourage you to go to one of our websites or go to our Facebook page and look that up and just see what it's about. I think you'll like it, even if you may not be keen to the topic. I think every week we're going to do a different topic.
That's right.
And anyway, I found it incredibly interesting.
Game of Thrones only has five more episodes, yeah. And so after 4 weeks, we're going to have to find a new topic to discuss there too. So, you know, any help would be appreciated.
All right. So that's a good thing.
Lynn, before we get out of here, since we've talked about everything else, why don't you tell us what Lynn's column is about this week?
Lynn's column is called No Longer a Young Whippersnapper. Which, if you're basically using the word whippersnapper, then you know you're old.
You're not young anymore.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was talking about me and some friends of mine getting together, and one of them talking about how they had a sleep study done, and we were just like, yeah, man.
Comparing CPAPs.
Yes, this is, yeah. And you know that you've gotten old when you're talking about, sleep studies. And, you know, you see a lunchbox you used to have when you were in elementary school, but you see it in a museum
and
things like that.
Now.
So an ode to being old, and that's about it.
Comparing how many times you woke up and went to the bathroom last night and stuff of that nature.
And comparing lawnmowers, discussing that kind of thing.
And this week's crossword puzzle, what is four across?
So we appreciate you tuning in. We appreciate our sponsors for the Behind the News podcast. They include Lutz Brown Pegler Manly Insurance in Homerville, The Shack Cafe, Country Cabin Restaurant over in Atchison County, and Robert's Milling Company. If you see those folks, tell them you appreciate them sponsoring Better Behind the News podcast as well. We'll be back next week. Now, also going back to the Ben and Blake's Excellent Adventure podcast. We're going to try to do that about every Tuesday.
Yeah, I think we're going to publish it every Tuesday.
Yeah, and so be on the lookout next Tuesday for that. That'll come out, and we'll post it again on our Twitter and our Facebook pages. And then on Thursdays, we'll come back with the Behind the News podcast. Whatever's going on this week, we'll talk about it right here. If you want us to talk about something going on in one of our communities, let us know. You can contact Blake or I at our respective newspapers, or you can email us, or just go on our Facebook page and respond to this link, and we'll take that into consideration. Again, for Blake Pippin, this is Lynn Robbins saying we thank you for listening to the Behind the News podcast. We'll see you next week.